Dr. Clendenning, good morning. How are you?
I am well. The Michael Labersi, how are you doing today?
Outstanding. Having some coffee with you here this morning and talking about, you know, life as it is. How's the house project, man? What's going on there?
We are, well, let's see, at the time this airs, we should be moved in about 10 days, about 2 weeks, thereabouts. So I know this is evergreen content, but we'll talk real time on this one. Second week of July. I was shooting for first week of July, but it's going to be second week of July. Some material delays, some weather delays, some things just outside the control. And just physically, man, I'm at the end of it. Like I am more KT tape. We don't sponsored by them, but I might as well be at this point. I am more KT tape than joints. Yeah, exactly. I got rolls of that around here. Rock tape, KT tape, take your, that stuff is amazing. And I am very fortunate to have a wife that is a physical therapist that knows how to apply it. So yeah, both shoulders are taped. One knee is taped. My back is taped. I've got some other icy hot patches and I'm ibuprofen and the... It's the amount, like it's the labor, man. It's trying to be the one man show to do it all. And right now what's kicking my butt is the overhead work. It is like I had all the overhead ceiling insulation to do. It's not that it's particularly heavy to manipulate that stuff around, but there's a lot of, you know, overhead movements and overhead torque that just wore my shoulders out. And then I'm doing all the wall sheathing. So it's all, and the entire building is all pine tongue and groove interior. So it's all 1x6 boards and it's a ton of overhead work in the big cathedral ceiling. So it's climb the ladder, put the board up, climb down the ladder, go cut the board, climb up the ladder, put the board up. It's tons of reps. It's not go to the gym, do 30 reps. I'm talking like 200 reps in the course of a day. So body's tired. I'm wearing thin on the project. And as Mike knows, and this is something we want to talk about a little bit about to do today too, as an example, is when you're that wore down, right? And when you're that wore down, your decision-making process goes with it.
Oh.
Not just your physical process, right? But your ability to, and I called Mike, I don't know, a few days ago. And I'm like, I'm not making decisions right now on anything. Like anything, I'm not, you know, people are calling me, hey, you want to go here and do this? No, I'm not making any decisions. There's no yes or no's. There's no, here's what we need to do with the business. I'm not, because my mental clarity is I have only enough capacity right now to make sure I'm following the list that I created. You know, here's the punch list. Here's when you're supposed to be doing the thing. So I'm not having to think through it. So
it takes a mature person to realize that you're in a space where you're making poor decisions. And it takes a person that has made probably hundreds of poor decisions in that state of mind to realize that. I know sometimes you don't get enough sleep. I'm not proper food for a couple of days. Just a lot of clients. You know, you realize, shit, I'm in a space where I'm just not going to be making the decisions. I've got to keep all that low and slow and just kind of make it to like 8 o'clock at night where nobody, although we do kind of work on an international level, so we're always getting phone calls and stuff, but nobody's really trying to get after me at that point. And, you know, sometimes it's good. And I don't know about you, man, but like in my own world with your body and everything else, I've just been running into, like, my schedule's been so tight that every nuance is a delay. Like, this is delayed, that's delayed, and I've got it all perfectly planned out, but other mechanisms are failing, and I'm just running right into the fact that I know I am overtaxing something in the universe right now. And I just went, you know, I had a thing earlier, and I had to get an Uber there, and I had to take a client in an Uber on the way back. And I apologized to the Uber driver. I said, listen, I'm not trying to be big time here. I realize I just had to take this call on my delay. He goes, this guy doesn't know me from home. He goes, hey man, you're fine. It's all good. And just for that dude looking back at me with a calm face, I was like, oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Gives you the permission. The interesting thing I really figured out about this, you know, quite honestly, the exhaustion thing and making poor decisions. I mean, I can apply that to, you know, general survival, like outdoor survival. You can apply it to when you're that wiped out, you're making poor decisions, and usually those lead to get you in bigger trouble. But I want to go back and think about, you know, everybody think about when you're, I've heard it lately, you know, the excuse, the joking tongue in cheek kind of thing. Well, you're not 20 anymore, Jake. Yeah, I get that. I know I'm not 20. Here's the interesting part. I was just as exhausted in my 20s running as hard as I am right now. I was. And I recall it. I've sat down and I've meditated on this and I've thought through it. And guess what? I made some terrible decisions in my 20s and my 30s operating in that place of exhaustion because I was working, you know, try to work as much overtime as you did. That's back when I had a J-O-B. You'd run hard, 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 hard. You go play hard, 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 right? And you would have to do, and then you'd have to make a decision. Well, your decision-making is compromised. It is. It is compromised, even in your 20s. I don't care. Even your teens, doesn't matter. I don't think that the age axiom, you know, that piece of, well, you're older now, your body can't take that. That may be somewhat true, but the reality is if you're exhausted, regardless of your age, your decision-making process sucks. It just does. So I'm thinking about that and I'm like, man, where did I make some critical decisions that went terribly wrong? And was I physically tore up at that time? And the answer is yes to a lot of those. But I look back at it, there's a correlation to that. So, I mean, it's interesting to me now that I'm realizing this at 52, 53 years old. I got a funny story for you later about 53 too, but I'm just now realizing it. I'm associating the fact that that is in fact true, regardless of your age. Now, maybe, you know, and it doesn't matter, like maybe I had the capacity to run 12 hours a day before I was exhausted, whereas now I've got the ability to run 10 to 11 hours a day before exhaustion. But when you hit the wall, regardless, the same problem, right? Your decision-making process is junk. And that's, so think about that in your business, think about that in your personal life. You know, if you come home exhausted from whatever you do during the day, you're spent physically, you're just dragging your ass in the door. And then you need to sit down, you and your spouse are going to have a financial conversation. That is a horrible time to do it because your decision-making process, your reactions, your ability to empathize, they're all compromised. You're going to say something stupid that's going to get you in deeper trouble. So, I mean, it's, and look back, man, this is the truth of it. Look back in your history and you can absolutely prove that that is a pattern in your life.
Oh man, I was making all these decisions. This is just 2 days ago. I'm driving back from DC to Jersey and I had to take the kids to a couple different doctor's appointments, right? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm working, I'm Zooming, I'm on calls, I'm on different things. I'm back to back here as I'm driving. I'm on these different phone calls and such and coordinating things. Well, I had one plan laid out and I'm like, I had this perfect plan. Well, guess what? A gravel truck overturned. I-95 is shut down. It's in the middle of the day. And I'm stuck for an extra hour and a half. Unmovable. Now, I wasn't late for anything. I had everything kind of handled. It was only a matter of a couple phone calls. I didn't have to be anywhere. There was no sense of urgency. There was no medical emergency. It wasn't getting late. But, you know, I started then cycling in my head on reactive planning and I went into crisis mode and I sitting there like flipping out a little bit and I'm like, whoa, I'm out, right? Time out, stop right there, dude. And I then just sort of went through the catalog, prioritized, cut some things out, told the boys, hey, listen, do your workout at home. I can't take you to the training place afterwards. You're going to hit at practice. And then it became this sort of monotony of more back and forth in terms of being the dad taxi. But at least I was able to get around the issue a little bit and not have it shockwave into my day. Now, it's somehow environmentally shockwaving today, right? But I'm making the best of it. I'm making the best of it.
Well, and you've got to decide what the critical things are, what's truly an emergency, what can you trapdoor and say, okay, well, my day, I've got 8 hours of stuff blocked in. I've got my perfect day laid out. I got 8 hours of stuff blocked in, and now I'm running an hour behind schedule. What do you do, right? Do you choose at that moment? There's two ways that you can approach this. You can either choose to say, I'm going to keep running late all day for the next 7 hours and every single person's going to be mad. And, or you're going to take the next person out of your schedule and reschedule them and just go, hey man, you're going to eat crow for one. And you're going to say, this is the one thing, and is that a critical, you've got to have some trapdoors, and there are, right? You've got to add, not every single appointment you've got is an emergency. Not every single thing I do, not every single client I talk to in that moment is an emergency. Life happens, right? Life happens. So sometimes we got to have a trapdoor. We can't make it a habit, because if we make it a habit, we're going to lose that client. We're going to lose that relationship. Sure. We're losing our reliability. We're lowering our trust factor with that particular person, knowing what it is. And go back to the very beginning, especially if they're clients, is we've got to have that expectations conversation in the beginning. I have it with all of my clients of, hey, we have a set standard call. This is when it's going to be. I get emergencies come up that, if you're going to be late, it happens once in a while. I'll give you 5 minutes. If not, we're going to reschedule your call. But then I ask them the same of me. If that happens for me, by and large, this is my space. This is where I am. I won't miss the call. But if I have an emergency, do I have your permission? Right. I get permission on the expectations conversation up front, so that should the weirdness happen, I have a trapdoor that I can save my day and not run that hot on it. Now, obviously, on the build, I have no trapdoors outside of I'm the one. I've got a ridiculous schedule I'm trying to meet. And yes, I'm going to do it. I'm putting that pressure on myself. I could easily untrapdoor myself and say, I'm going to take tomorrow off. So what? If I don't move in for an extra week, so what? Am I going to die as a result of that? No, I am not. I'm absolutely not going to. We are plenty safe and warm and dry, and we've got all our basic needs met. Things are good. Can I take that day? Yes, I could. Think about that. That's a self-imposed restriction. So all the bitching I'm doing about, how beat up I am and what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm pushing myself. That's on me. I'll own it. And it's also I don't give myself permission to check out of things when they get hard. Right. I just don't give myself, I've never given myself permission to do that, because if you do it once, it will become a trend quickly. Yeah. And that's one, just a little added thing in there. So I would tell you, give yourself some trapdoors to make sure, and give yourself permission, set some expectations. These are the little hacks that we always talk about to make sure that you can do it. And just be accountable to it. Be accountable to it. If you've got this morning was a great example. Mike had some stuff going on. We had a previous appointment set between us, and there's nothing he could do about it. Not a thing, literally absolutely nothing. But he called me and he's like, still sitting here, still doing this, can't do anything about it. And he was accountable to it. And it was like, yeah, it's cool, man. We'll figure it out. So you just got to communicate and make sure you're accountable to it.
Well, I think the essence of dealing with some problems is getting on the human side of things with people and understanding, like I always frame it up, like if I have to, I was like, hey, listen, I've been here since 7:30 in the morning, right? I can't meet you and do this and do that until this time. My appointment time was supposed to be, I was 6:30. My meeting was supposed to be at 7:15. I arrived at 6:40 in the morning for a scheduled 7:30, 7:15 meeting. Because I wanted momentum on my side. It was a 40-minute drive from my house to where I was going. And I wanted that sort of show up arrival momentum, because I know that place opened at 7, I think. And I wanted just to kind of get established, get through the admin, get all the crap done, and have a delta, have that window of, hey, I'm available here. I'm checked in. I'm ready to be here. I'm ready to be seen for this 15-minute appointment. I'm 40 minutes early. Like, I could not have boxed that thing in any longer, but a technology issue. So that's the other piece. When you're in a business like we are, when you're coaching or when you're meeting people on a regular basis, your continuity, your care and compassion, when you flip that around and you start letting people know way in advance, like I'll have some days, I can remember, I was some days where I messaged people 3 hours in advance going, hey, I'm really running about 15 minutes behind. And they reply back like, hey, wait, we're not meeting until, you know, 2:30 and it's 10 o'clock. Yeah, I'm just letting you know now because I know now. That kind of thing allows people to say, damn, this provider is on their game. They really give a shit about my time. Because if you pan back and you think about how busy somebody is, like, look at your time right now, Jake. Like, if you've got to take time away, and I get what you're doing. See, the smart thing about the pressure you're putting on yourself is you're managing any hiccups. Like, let's say you get this damn thing built and then you're waiting on a guy to come out and survey, or you're waiting on somebody to come out and do something else. And there's a linchpin piece that if you can't avoid, it has nothing to do with you. You're trying to avoid all that. And then you're trying to get in this place. And then once you're in there, it's like, oh shit, now I've got to decorate it, paint it, do whatever it is I've got to do to do the lipstick and makeup, so to speak. And then that takes time. So the hurry up piece is awesome. Because you want to hurry up, you want to get where you got to go, get there, and boom, same thing here. You want to make sure when you're in the kind of situations that we're in, doing all you can to make up for things you can't control. As much as we try, it did clear me up because I do still have about four or five more things kid related that I've got to run them around. I do have about four or five more things I have to do yet. And they seem to fall into place nicely. And I'm hoping the back of my day is better than the front of my day.
Well, and you know, neither one of us believes hope is a strategy, but there are those days where you're like, you don't know. It's a future thing.
Hope is a strategy, dude. I've got the parachute in my hand. I'm jumping out of the plane, and I hope this thing opens.
Right. Yeah. You're going to have that. You can go through all the pre-packing. You can make sure that it's done right. You can have the tags, you can do all the checks. And that's the other piece. And before I dive into these couple stories. So we want you to go to the website or go to social media pages. You'll find it there. We want you to go take the leadership archetype quiz. Find out what kind of leader you are. Take that test. You're going to get a great report that says, here's the gaps. Here's the things that you're doing awesome, and here's your gaps in the world. And then it's going to point you over to the app, and you can see where you can sign up for the app, where it can help you close those gaps. So we want you to go to the website, www.total-disruption.com. Go take the leadership archetype quiz and or both. Go to our social media page. You can find it on LinkedIn. You can find it on Facebook. You can find it on Instagram. You can find it on YouTube. Click on the link, go take the archetype quiz and just find out what kind of leader you are and then share it with your friends. Make it fun. So we want you to go do that.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Actually, you should want to go do that. Not you, Jake, you, the listener, should want to go and just see what kind of leader you are.
Yep, check it out, man. It's an incredibly powerful tool and it's fun. Like we kind of gamified it a little bit. It's pretty cool to go take it.
I like the whole, you know, I know leadership has been played out. I know you got some analogies you want to get to here. But I've got to be honest with you. The leadership thing is not played out. I was ignorant of this. Like, if you're a younger person right now and you're in your 20s or teens and you're listening to this broadcast, or let's say you're a journeyman, you're over the middle hump here of work. The leadership piece. You've got to get that figured out. You've got to get it figured out where and when and what kind of leader you are, right? When you want, and I'm not just saying this about the damn quiz, like go take it if you want. I don't really care. Take it, don't take it. I'm taking it. I like taking it. Everyone that takes it loves it. This has nothing to do with that. The leadership piece. Every time you're involved in something, it's time to lead or be led. It's time to lead or be led, always. And understanding your compromise and being led when you're a normal leader, that's okay. But you have to understand that to effectively be led and contribute to your maximum ability without resentment. Wouldn't you say?
I would agree with that completely. I absolutely agree with that. And there's still a cycle of management is what I'll call it. And I'm going to play on the, you know, familial cycle of violence things that we've heard so much about, but there's a cycle of management that is still being role modeled, right? That's still coming out of an older style of non-leadership, right? A more command and control environment. And we're still seeing a lot of those leaders emerging that are command and controls because they don't know how to lead. They've only ever been role modeled and mentored as a command and control kind of person. So yeah, leadership, there's no way that it's played out. It can't be, because to your point, we've got new leaders that are coming into the space that need to lead or be led. You got to think about how you're being led. Think about the people that have inspired you to do great and amazing things. Don't you want to be like them? How are you going to be like them? That's your question. And you can think about the managers you've had that you're like, yeah, I don't want to do that. But there's a cycle, right? There's a cycle of management that occurs to where if you worked at a fast food place, wherever, whatever you're doing, there's a protocol, and a lot of those guys I see are straight up managers. Go do this because I told you to do that. And that's the extent of their ability to run the business. And they're the bottleneck. When you manage it in that way, you are the bottleneck. 100%. When you're leading, your people will absolutely grow the organization. Saw a great interview with a CEO that's what he talked about. And they were sitting in his factory building their widgets, whatever they were doing. It was an hour and a half interview, and they never talked about the organization. They never talked about the product. And the interviewer asked him, he's like, I've never sat here and talked to a CEO that never spoke about his business, his product. And he says, what are you talking about? We've been talking about for the last 90 minutes. It's our people. The power is in our people. And it was an amazing leadership conversation that I just watched. It was great. So check, that stuff's still out there. I agree with Mike. It's not played out. And how do we lead ourselves? Lead or be led? Same exact thing. So I'll go back to the house analogy. One of the reasons, so let's talk calendars. We've been talking about this daily piece, right? The eight hours we got a day. What trapdoor do I build in there? At this point, I know where I've got to be, when I got to be, and how I got to be, and what form of comfort. I'm going to call it January 1st, just for fun and frivolity for you guys. And that's a full 6 months from now. I actually know a year and a half from now about it. But it's 6 months from now, there's a space I need to be in. There's a certain degree of what I have to be in. There's so much food that has to be in the pantry. There's so much food has to be in the freezer. So much wood has to be in the woodshed. So much dog food, all the things, right? It's not, I'm going to hop over to the store and buy 50 pounds or whatever. We do it different. So I know in order for me to do that, I have to be able to harvest and stockpile all of my food for the year in October, which means if I'm not done with the house by mid-July, I'm really going to struggle with getting all of that done. It's going to push into the fall, which means then I'm allocated to going out and pulling out the visa. And I'm going to have to go to the grocery store. I'm going to buy stuff I don't want to buy because I wasn't able to harvest it on my own, or I'm going to have to pay somebody else to go get all the firewood. Now, there's a bunch of business people out there that, and I'm using this as the example. There's a lot of business people out there that are going to tell you, and I'm going to say this in under a minute here, that are going to say your time is worth more than that. You need to be out doing cool and groovy and fabulous things and following your vision. And you should pay for your firewood. It doesn't matter, guys. You're exchanging time for money one way or the other. Yeah. I take a certain degree of pride and ownership and love and desire out of making sure nothing makes me feel more wealthy than a full woodshed. Like when the woodshed has got 10 cords of firewood stacked up in there, I don't care what the world throws at me. I am warm and dry for the next 6 months. I feel really, really, really good about that. And sure, I could pay for that, but physically I'm better because I'm stronger. I've worked out. I've done the movements to do all those things. Or I could sit in some damn cubicle somewhere and I could absolutely just pay for somebody to do that. It's your choice. It's a decision on how you do it. We're going to get into that later, but
it's how you want to spend your life. It's not, it's like, who gives a shit about being super effective? Like, after a while, that is so played out, And that advice is good advice for most of the time. But if you want to spend your life like harvesting and do all that stuff, that's why you work so hard. That's what you want to do. You go do it. You know, yep. You're not trying to do it. You're not just trying to be economical about it because I don't give a shit. You know, it costs just as much.
Well, it's not. I'll tell you right now, it ain't economical.
Anyway, brother, we're running out of time. You got anything else to say in 10 seconds?
No, man. Just understand what your time is worth.
There you go. All right. My name is Mike Liberce for Dr. Jay Clendenning. You were just live on Total Disruption. We'll see you next time.